And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
You know, I think your brain produces a chemical that blocks out my voice.
What?
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara Counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is Pioneering Spirit. Each of my guests has a pioneering spirit about his or her subject. My next guest is the biographer of one of America's great pioneers, Davy Crockett. We'll get to know the man behind the legend from his book, David Crockett, The Lion of the West. And if you have a question or if you just want to call in and talk to my guest, you can call us at 639-0008. Michael Wallace is a journalist and a popular historian of Western United States history. He's written 17 different books. His works have also been published extensively in magazines and newspapers, including Time, Life, People, Smithsonian, The New Yorker, and The New York Times. Michael has been inducted into the Oklahoma Writers Hall of Fame, the Writers Hall of Fame of America, and the Oklahoma Historians Hall of Fame. He's been nominated for 3 Pulitzer Prizes. Amazing. Michael graduated from Western Military Academy in Alton, Illinois back in 1963. He attended the University of Missouri at Columbia and then moved to Miami, Florida in 1978, where he worked for Time's Caribbean Bureau. He currently lives in Tulsa, Oklahoma with his wife. And an interesting factoid, Michael provided the voice of the sheriff in the Disney Pixar movies Cars. Michael's most recognizable feature is his mustache, and the front grille of the character was designed to resemble that mustache. Joining us on the show, hi Michael, how are you today?
I'm doing just fine, thank you. Good to be with you.
Well, thanks for being our guest, and for those people who have seen the car movies, there's a distinctive voice for you right there. So let's dive into your new book, though, David Crockett, because many of us think we know Davy Crockett because of the popularized portrayal in the Walt Disney television series back in the 1950s. Certainly it had a memorable theme song. I can remember that song to today. Add to the fact, Michael, I don't know if you know this, but you're broadcasting into Ventura County and Santa Barbara County. Fess Parker, who played Davy Crockett, lived in Santa Barbara all of his life. So that just further muddles the line between fact and fantasy for us here.
Well, it does indeed. And it's through Mr. Parker that I got to meet Crockett for the first time. Like so many other boomers, I was 9 years old, December of 1954, a cold winter night in St. Louis, and this gangly former Marine in buckskin leapt out of my parents' black and white RCA Victor TV, and I was, as they say, a goner. And by the time the next two episodes aired and completed in the spring of 55, I had that ubiquitous coonskin hat like everybody else. We doggone near put that poor beast on the endangered species list, but that was fine. You know, that version of Crockett was fine for a 9 or 10 year old boy or girl, but I thought it was high time to present the adult version. You know about Davy Crockett. I wanted to give you the opposite of the myth. You know, it's a much more interesting story of David Crockett.
And hence the title of the book. Well, Davy Crockett certainly was not a backwoods bumpkin who killed himself a bar at the age of 3. So tell us some of the facts and the fantasy about David Crockett's life, because it really does read like fiction, doesn't it?
Oh, it does. And, you know, the truth is always stranger than fiction. But you're right, that wonderful ballad of Davy Crockett, he did not kill him a bar when he was only 3. However, he was a professional hunter. That's how he made his living. And one bear season, he slew 105 black bears. He was not born on a mountaintop, but he certainly was born within a yodeling distance of a mountaintop in Tennessee. He lived all over Tennessee. That land had such a big impact on him, the frontier. He was the consummate frontiersman. He didn't always wear a raccoon hat. He preferred to wear a big, broad hunter's hat, much like his favorite portrait, which appears in my book as the front piece right up next to the title page. He's waving his big hat. There is the Davy Crockett myth and the David Crockett reality. And the David comes in because he always used his full given name. He never signed his name anything but David Crockett. So that's why I'm obliged to use it as the main title of my book. And The Lion of the West, the subtitle, is is in reference to a play called The Lion of the West, which swept the nation when Crockett was in Washington, D.C. He served 3 terms in Congress, and it was loosely based on Crockett's life. So he was a major hero, a myth in his own lifetime.
Without a doubt. He was also a best-selling author, a congressman, as you pointed out, and a raconteur extraordinaire, just like yourself. So let's talk about his early life, because it wasn't just idyllic growing up, as you say, on a mountaintop. He actually had financially cursed parents, didn't he?
Well, like so many others, you know, this wasn't the early Waltons by any means. There's nothing romantic about the frontier as it moved westward with the Euro-American immigrants. The Crocketts were good Scots-Irish. They lived hard, played hard, lived off the land. At an early age, David Crockett, became a very good shot. He had to help put meat on the table. His father was cursed with bad luck when it came to finances, and something that David inherited. He got those bad financial genes as well. But in fact, his father indentured him out as a working hand when he was just an adolescent. And he learned his lessons well in the proverbial school of hard knocks. He was self-taught, self-educated. He certainly could write a good hand, or as good as any of his contemporaries. He read. He read The Bard. He read Shakespeare. He even read, in preparation to write that biography of his, which is quite good, he read Ovid's Metamorphosis, translated into English. So he was not a buffoon, nor was he a great intellect, but he was arguably our first celebrity hero.
And that's what kind of makes him interesting, too. I want to come back to his celebrity in just a minute. But he helped perpetuate his own celebrity by some of the tales that he told of death traps and murderous Native Americans and kidnappings and that kind of stuff. Talk to me about how he was himself the consummate promoter.
He was a great storyteller, like many frontier characters, and he could spin the proverbial yarn, and of course, with each telling, the story got better. So he told his own story and often stretched the truth, but many others just blew it up to sky high till it was just totally over the top. Had him lassoing comets and wading the Mississippi on stilts. He never went that far, but a lot of the tales he told actually were definitely rooted in truth. I mean, he was the genuine article. And he soon found that people liked to listen to his stories. He had this great country sense of humor. And it was self-effacing. He wasn't afraid to turn the joke around on himself. And consequently, he had great impact, direct impact, on 3 other noteworthy Americans, on Mark Twain, on Abraham Lincoln, and on Oklahoma's own native son, Will Rogers. That same type of self-effacing humor and wit, and it always worked.
But that it did. My guest is Michael Wallace, author of the book David Crockett, The Lion of the West. And Michael, you know, militarily, David Crockett followed the history of the United States. Talk about Crockett's time with Old Hickory, Andrew Jackson, during the Indian Wars, and then talk about his last stand at the Alamo.
Crockett, like many others on the Tennessee frontier, went into the militia during the War of 1812 and fought in the ill-fated Creek Wars under Andrew Jackson, who was the general in charge of that army and who went on to become president. He, meaning Crockett, didn't like what he found. He truly learned that war is indeed hell. He witnessed atrocities and mayhem, and he had his fill of it and didn't want any more of it and didn't partake in it anymore after his hitches were up. However, at the end of his life, he was called back into service, but not out of any fit of Texas patriotism for these Anglo rebels who were breaking the laws of the country they lived, that is, Mexico, where they were permitted to live. They were bringing in slaves. and slavery was abolished in Mexico according to the new constitution. So when Crockett went down there, he had no, as we say out here, no dog in that fight. He just wanted to rebuild his career after getting voted out of Congress, principally because he opposed Jackson, Old Hickory, Old Sharp Knife, as the Cherokees called him, over Indian removal. He made his stand in Washington City and said, "You have messed with these people enough, leave them be." And Jackson, of course, was angry. He signed the bill. The trails of tears commenced. The misery and mayhem of moving all these indigenous people to where I now live, Oklahoma. And it cost Crockett his job. They found a candidate to run against him, as Crockett pointed out, a one-legged man. And he famously said, "You all can go to hell, I'll go to Texas." But again, he went to Texas solely to rebuild his career. He was gypsy-footed, and he thought he'd strike out and see what he could find down there.
"You go to hell, I'll go to Texas," a famous words. My guest is Michael Wallace, author of the book, David Crockett. Now, David, Michael, what is it about David Crockett that resonates with Americans? I mean, certainly there were other frontiersmen who were just as fearless, just as accomplished, just as colorful as David Crockett. What makes his legend surpass all others?
Well, you see, he was, when I say he was our first celebrity hero, he was someone who came definitely from the ranks of the common person, the common man and woman, especially on the far western frontier, which at that time was on the boundaries of the state of Tennessee to the west. So he came from the land, and he rose up and became a national figure through his exploits, through his time in the Tennessee legislature, through his 3 terms in Congress, his wonderful narrative, his biography, which led to this incredibly interesting tour of Philadelphia and Boston and New York. And then a big play was written about it, the subtitle of my book, The Lion of the West, loosely based on Crockett's life, starring a very over-the-top character called Nimrod Wildfire, wearing a bobcat skin hat and all sorts of frilly fringe. And that's an interesting moment in the book when Crockett goes to that play in the front row to see this lion of the West, and no one knew how he would react. Would he leap on the stage and pummel Nimrod Wildfire, or would he shake his hand? And I'll just let the reader find out how that transpired.
That's what's known in the industry as a teaser. My guest is Michael Wallace. Michael, draw an analogy, if you can, between David Crockett and maybe somebody today, a contemporary in American history, that we might be able to equate his size and his stature to. Is there anyone out there?
You know, I'm tempted to get, you know, you can't really go to like a celebrity athlete or a celebrity the star from stage or screen or television, and you really can't compare him to any politicians. Today, it would be interesting to see how he would be politically. But I do know this, because he lived by his motto, which is very true, always be sure you're right, then go ahead. He showed a lot of moxie, and that's what he did when he stood up. That's a pivotal moment when he stood up against his president, his own party, and the rest of Congress, and didn't buckle in and said no to Indian removal. That was a brave, some might say a foolish act, but he wanted to be sure he was right, and he went ahead and he did it. And, you know, to be honest with you, I don't know of too many people in Congress today who are willing to do that.
I would have to agree with you. My guest is Michael Wallace, author of the book, David Crockett. Michael, as interesting as the book is, and it is very interesting, your life is equally interesting. So tell us a little bit about yourself. How'd you choose a career in journalism? You graduated from one of the great journalistic schools in America. That's University of Missouri at Columbia. What fascinates you about the American West? I mean, why did you glom onto that subject?
Well, I think it really goes back to my beginnings. Born at the end of World War II in St. Louis, the gateway to the West, I, like many Missourians, and Missouri is always called by historians the mother of the West, because it spawned so much of the Anglo-American West. But I looked down those trails. I looked down the immigrant trails. I looked down the Santa Fe Trail and the Oregon Trail and the Pony Express Trail, and certainly my beloved Route 66, which runs right through Missouri and right through eight states between Chicago and Santa Monica.
All the way out here to California.
Right to California. And, of course, that led to one of my biggest books of all, Route 66, The Mother Road, still very much in print, a million copies sold, and a book that helped inspire the movie Cars, which is all about Route 66. And that's how I became a consultant for Pixar and did the voice of the sheriff. So my whole psyche and being and interest has always been focused on the American West.
And a little bit of a rebel, too. I mean, if we take a look at some of your books, this book about David Crockett, certainly he was a little bit on the rebellious edge. Pretty Boy Floyd was another one of your books. And even Route 66, although you're writing about a road, there's a little bit about that open road wildness, you know, the wild ride, easy rider thing.
Oh, there's no question. Don't forget, I also did a big book that's now optioned for film about Billy the Kid. He was not a choir boy either. No, there's a streak of larceny in my heart. I think there's a thin line that separates good and evil, and I think if people truly admit it, we've all danced on that line. And those of us who are willing to stay on the right side of the line do okay. But I like to write about these rascals who have danced over the line and not revise them or rewrite their history, but expose the truth about them, because all of them are mired in myth and legend. Billy the Kid, Pretty Boy Floyd, certainly Mr. Crockett, Route 66, America's Main Street, everybody thought it was gone. It was in the past tense, and by God, it's not. 85% of it's still there, and now it's made this tremendous revival. So that's what I'm all about.
Well, my guess,
the record straight.
My guest has been the larcenist Michael Wallace, author of the new book, David Crockett, The Lion of the West. Michael, if people are intrigued by what they hear, they want to learn more about you, learn more about the book, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Well, the best way, I mean, if they Google Michael Wallace, W-A-L-L-I-S, they'd find all kinds of things. But you can go straight to my website, Michael, M-I-C-H-A-E-L, Wallace, W-A-L-L-I-S, all one word.
MichaelWallace.com. Michael, it has been a delight. Thank you so much for being my special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
It's always my pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you.